Are stocks overvalued right now? No doubt some are. Better question, is the stock market as a whole overvalued? Hi, I'm Rob West. If you own stocks and the market is a bit overpriced, you probably don't really mind. But if it's wildly overpriced, what does that tell us about the market's prospects in the future? I'll talk to Mark Biller about that today, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, our good friend Mark Biller is executive editor at Sound Mind Investing, where they burn the midnight oil studying things like market valuation. It's always a party over there. Mark, great to have you back with us.
Thanks, Rob. Sure sounds exciting, doesn't
it? Yeah, no doubt. Hey, by the way, folks, if you have questions today on the markets, your portfolio, where the market is headed from here, or anything in between, Mark will be answering your questions as we unpack this topic today. We've got phone lines open. You can call anytime, 800-525-7000. Again, that's 800-525-7000. All right, let's start, dive in. Mark, you've got an article in the latest Sound Mind Investing newsletter titled Measuring the Market's Valuation. It'll be in today's show notes. They can, of course, find it at soundmindinvesting.org as well. Help us understand first what you mean by market valuation and why is it important?
Yeah, great question, Rob. So to understand how the stock market can be overvalued or undervalued, we've got to understand first what stocks actually are. So when you own a share of stock, you have a tiny claim on the results of that business. In other words, the amount of profit that that company earns. Now, hopefully, the company is going to grow and earn greater profits over time, which will make your ownership interest, your share of stock, more valuable over time. Yeah. And all of that is why, in contrast to something like gold, which we discussed last month, financial people talk about how stocks can grow your purchasing power over time. The idea is if you own the right stocks and those companies perform well, your ownership gets more valuable over time and hopefully increases in value faster than the rate of inflation. So once we establish that a share of stock is actually a claim on a sliver of that company's earnings, well, from there, then we can go about figuring out if the price that we're paying today for that slice of company earnings is a high price or a low price.
Yeah, that's really helpful. Now, it's important to recognize that the price investors are willing to pay for company earnings changes over time, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's kind of a weird thing for people if they've never really thought about it before. But it's true. The price that investors will pay for a given dollar of company earnings actually changes pretty dramatically over time. And the reason that it changes so much is largely because investors as a group go through big emotional swings. So there are certain times when investors will pay a lot for a little bit of earnings, and then other times when, as a group, investors demand a bargain and they will pay very little. So if you've never thought about it that way before, it's odd, but it's this change in investor attitudes that's really a big factor that drives extended bull markets. That happens largely when investors are getting really optimistic about the future and they're willing to pay high prices for company earnings.
Yeah.
And it's also a factor in bear markets when stocks have been falling. You know, usually bear markets will have some other catalyst as well, like an economic recession.
Right.
But a big part of it is that investors are swinging from optimism in a bull market to pessimism during a bear market, and that can cause the amount that they're willing to pay for the same dollar of earnings to decline pretty dramatically.
Yeah, so it sounds like the key to measuring how expensive a given company or the stock market as a whole is to know how much it's earning. Is that right?
Yeah, and not surprisingly, there are a number of different ways to measure a company's or the market's valuation, but some of the most common ones do exactly what you just said. They They take a company's price, compare it to its earnings. That's the PE ratio, the price earnings ratio you always hear about. And you can look at specific companies or the market as a whole through that lens.
Yeah, very helpful.
All right, your questions for Mark Biller just around the corner. 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. There's a scene in the classic story of Alice in Wonderland that I come back to every now and then. A lost Alice runs into a hookah smoking caterpillar, and in this encounter, this caterpillar asks, "Who are you?" It's a question we need to ponder. Alice no longer knew who she was. Do you? Do you define yourself by what you do or by what Christ has done for you? Galatians 2:20, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." That's who we are, blood bought and beloved. That's our identity. Spend more time with Jesus. Visit GetAnchored.com.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience. And she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
Hello, I'm Don Hawkins, here to tell you about Encouragement Live, 55 minutes of industrial strength radio encouragement featuring resourceful guests plus practical biblical insights to help you face life's challenges. We'll be taking your phone calls, so plan to join us for Encouragement Live, Saturdays at 7:05 p.m. Central, 8:05 p.m. Eastern, here on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from LitePoint Portfolios, which seeks out family and faith-friendly investments for 401k and 403b plans, integrating faith values and fiduciary duty. LitePoint Portfolios offers retirement plans for a variety of organizations, such as businesses, nonprofits, and churches. And we're grateful for their sponsorship of the Faith and Finance Program. More information is available at LitePointPortfolios.com.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Today we're talking market valuation with Mark Biller, our good friend. He's executive editor at Sound Mind Investing. You can find out more at soundmindinvesting.org. While you're there, check out this new article called Measuring the Market's Valuation. We're going to get to the million-dollar question here in just a second. What does all of this say about where the market's headed from here? But we'd love for you to get in on the conversation. We've got lines open today, and Mark will be here to answer your investing-related questions. No topic off-limits related to investing and your finances. We'd love to hear from you at 800-525-7000. Again, that's 800-525-7000. Now, what are these ratios saying about the markets right now, Mark? We're going to get to that in just a moment, but for just a second, I'm going to restrain myself because you offer some important warnings about market valuation in your article. So share those with us first.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, Rob, because it is really important to understand what these valuation measures are good for and what they're not good for. So first and foremost, market valuation is not a helpful short-term timing tool. You have to remember that we're looking at the market's current valuation, and comparing that to its valuation at other points in the past. So as we look back through market history, we can see a period, say, like the end of the dot-com bubble in the late 90s. And we can see, yeah, stocks were really very expensive at that particular point. Or we might fast forward a little further, and at the end of the great financial crisis in 2008, we can see that stocks were really cheap there. And by doing that, by looking at these high points and low points over history, we get an idea of where the extremes are. So in other words, we can say most of the time the market is valued in this certain range, but when it gets this high, watch out. Or when it gets this low, we've really got a bargain. And the problem is that the market can reach those levels that start to signal that it's either really expensive or really cheap, and then it can stay there for quite a long time. So, for example, one of the best examples I can think of this is in the late 90s, that dot-com bubble. There was an infamous speech by Fed Chairman Alan Greenspan in 1996 where he used what became kind of a famous phrase where he said the stock market was irrationally exuberant. And he was right. There was a bubble forming. We know that looking back in hindsight. The thing is, that was 1996, and the market didn't peak until early 2000. So you had almost 3.5 years of the stock market continuing to go up even after people were saying, wow, this is really an expensive market. So the point of all that is we really can't use market valuation as a short-term timing tool, which of course then raises the question, well, what good is it? What can we use it for? And the main thing that market valuation is helpful for is giving us a longer range projection of what we can expect from the market, what type of returns we can expect. And that's because research has shown that market valuation is very predictive of future market returns, but only over a longer term period, like 7 to 12 years. So we'll just say over the next decade or so, you can tell if you're starting from a starting point of very high market valuation. What that tells you is the next decade or so is probably going to give you below average returns. And the same is true when you're at a very low starting point. That's a great time to be looking out over the next decade or so because returns are probably going to be above average from that low starting point.
Yeah, that was really helpful, Mark. By the way, what does all this have to do with your portfolio? Are you just starting out? Are you in retirement? Do you have questions? Mark's here to answer those questions, and we'll turn to your phone calls here in just a moment. 800-525-7000. We've got lines open. Also, if you're wondering kind of how to think about this economy in light of some of the headwinds and challenges we have out there and how that affects your portfolio, we'd love to talk about that as well. Again, 800-525-7000. You can call right now. So the point you're making here, Mark, is that we shouldn't necessarily run out and make a bunch of trades based on that information. So then how can we use it to help us actually make decisions?
Yeah, so one main way is to let that information inform your planning. So for example, if you know that market valuations are high today, and you know that historically that suggests that returns will likely be below average over the next decade or so, you might want to use more conservative return projections as you're thinking about your retirement plans. So whether you're doing this on your own or maybe an advisor is helping you using some sort of financial planning software that allows you to adjust those future return expectations, that can be really helpful to plug in a little bit lower projection, which can then help a person realize they may need to adjust their savings rate, they may need to adjust their plans of exactly how long they plan to work before retiring. It really helps you sort through some of those types of planning decisions.
Yeah. All right. We've kept folks in suspense long enough, Mark. So what do the various measures say about the market's valuation right now?
Yeah, well, unfortunately, the news isn't great on that score. You know, most measures suggest that the market is pretty expensive today. Not as bad as it was, say, at the end of 2021 before we had last year's correction, but still high historically. And that really shouldn't be a huge surprise. If you think back, you know, we had over a decade between 2008's financial crisis and that bear market that ended in 2009, and then the COVID shock in 2020. We didn't have any recessions or really any bear markets to speak of in that long stretch. The market just kept chugging higher. And then the stock market fell for a whopping one whole month in March of 2020 before the Fed and the government really kicked it into overdrive with all the stimulus. So we did have that reprieve last year where the market got a little cheaper during the pullback. So valuations aren't at their worst extremes that we've seen lately, but really by almost any measure, stocks are somewhere between pretty expensive and kind of make your eyes bleed expensive.
Which you never want to get to that level.
No, that's a bad level.
It is kind of surprising, though, Mark, isn't it, that we haven't seen much of a correction, let alone a bear market. I mean, we know the market looks out 6 to 12 months. We know the labor market is starting to weaken. We know savings levels are dropping. I mean, we're seeing all of these things going on, including just the global challenges that we have. It's almost like the recession handwriting is on the wall, and yet the market's been holding up. Is that surprising to you?
It is surprising, and I think it's been surprising to most everyone, which is why we've been hearing these projections of a recession and concerns about a continued bear market for, you know, over a year now. And it still hasn't, this recession hasn't arrived. The market has bounced back. So it is. It's been a very confusing time for most investors and most market watchers, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. All right, when we come back, your questions, 800-525-7000. Also, when we get into periods like this where the market is overvalued, how do these types of situations typically resolve? Much more to come on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio with Mark Biller. Stick around.
The loss of a child through an abortion affects the emotional health of families. Feelings of anger, sadness, and regret can be overwhelming. But there is hope and healing in the aftermath. Call the International Helpline at 866-482-LIFE to talk with someone who has been where you are and healed to help others. Your call is confidential. 866-482-LIFE.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute, no way.
There's a way, the Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at EventideInvestments.com. That's EventideInvestments.com.
Rob West of Faith and Finance.
If you've listened any length of time, you're aware that we often underscore the importance of preparing for the future. Well, as you look into the future, I suggest you consider the AFA Foundation in your estate planning.
Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Mark Biller here today, and you heard it here first, the official valuation of stocks, somewhere between pretty expensive and make your eyes bleed expensive. At least that's what Mark Biller said just a moment ago. What does that all mean for your portfolio? We've got lines open today. It's time to take your questions. Mark Biller ready to answer them at 800-525-7000. Let's head to the phones to Texas. Aaron is a first-time caller. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, I have. So I recently had lost my job, but I have a little over 100,000 in a 401k, and it's all invested in the company I was working for. And the company is a Fortune 500 company, and so I don't see it going down at all with the times we're having. But now I'm in a position where I could possibly move some to an IRA and kind of make some different investments. Or possibly maybe gets a little bit of gold with it or something like that. So I was kind of curious on what y'all's thoughts were with that.
Yeah. Mark, your thoughts?
Yeah. So, Aaron, it's great that you're honed in on the idea that having all of that in any particular company's stock is a risky thing, no matter how good the company. That just piles a lot of company-specific risk into your portfolio. So our general rule of thumb that we use with our Sound Mind Investing folks is we tell them you should never have more than 15% of your total portfolio in any single company, whether that's your own company's stock or any other company. So that's a rough rule of thumb. And now that you're separated from this company, you probably don't even want to keep that much. That's a lot. In our way of thinking, 15% is a lot to have in one company. So I think you're absolutely on the right track in terms of thinking about moving that retirement money to an IRA, and then from there, investing through that IRA in a more broadly diversified way, probably using some broad market index funds would be an easy way to get that diversification, or at least using some more diversified mutual funds. That's a real easy way to get a lot of different companies in a single investment. You buy one mutual fund and you're getting hundreds of different companies in that single investment. So that's a good way to easily be able to diversify between maybe large company stocks, a smaller amount of small company stocks, maybe some bonds. And like you said, if you want to mix in a small allocation to gold, precious metals, you can do that easily through that IRA investment as well. We talked last month some about the pros and cons of owning the physical metals. Sometimes within a retirement account, it's easier to own like the gold ETFs that we discussed last month. So you may want to listen to that broadcast from last month to review some of those options. But that would be how I would look at that. I think you're on the right track for sure. Rob, your thoughts?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Let me ask you, Aaron, it sounds like you lost your job. Are you looking for another job? Have you already secured a job with a new employer?
I have not yet. So I'm currently looking, but I was approached by a company that we used to do business with, and they have a position coming open fairly soon. And so they've I guess made it very clear that they love me to come work for them. So
yeah,
that's
very good.
What I'm holding out at the moment.
Well, I'm delighted to hear that. Mark, how do you help folks process, assuming his new employer would allow him to roll his 401k into maybe a new 401k with his new employer, that versus going to the IRA while he's still in his working years?
Yeah, it's really more of a personal preference kind of thing. If you're planning to use broad-based index funds like I was just describing, most 401k plans are going to offer those. So then it's just kind of a situation of looking at the options in the new 401k and deciding, do those options meet the way that I want to invest my money? Yeah. And if they do, there's usually very little downside to just rolling that to the new 401k. It is always a good idea to try to investigate the costs because while they're usually pretty low, there are exceptions to that. There are some 401k plans that have some additional fees and things, higher fees than are typical. Normally where we run into the I want to move it to an IRA side of things is if people look at the list of investment options in the 401k and say, you know, there's some things I'd like to do that aren't going to be easy to do within the 401k. And that flexibility is really the biggest advantage of the IRA, because you roll it to an IRA with Fidelity or Schwab or whoever you choose to use, and you've basically got every investment option under the sun available to you through the IRA. Yeah. So for somebody following like our programs at Sound Mind Investing, that flexibility can be a big deal. But for a lot of people who really just want to pop this into a handful of index funds, the 401k is easy. You're going to be using that at the new employer anyway, so that can be a little bit easier option for a lot of people.
Yeah, very good. So in summary, Aaron, there definitely need to diversify away from that highly concentrated position of your previous employer. Absolutely, you could invest in some gold or precious metals, but probably best to use a basket of investments like indexes or high-quality funds. If you want an advisor to manage this for you, you could look for a certified Kingdom advisor in your area on our website, faithfi.com, faithfi.com. Just click Find a CKA. Or our friends at Sound Mind Investing could give you some great mutual fund suggestions to go along with this. Thanks for your call. Michael in Alabama, we've got to take a quick break. When we come back, you're going to be first up. I know you have a question less than 2 years away from retirement. You've got about $800,000 in your 401k and IRAs and just wanting to preserve your capital and know where to go from here. We're going to get Mark Biller's take on that just around the corner. So you stay right there. If you have a question on investing or the economy today for Mark Biller, you can call right now. We've got lines open. The number 800-525-7000. Give us a call. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We'll be right back.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Hi, this is Pastor Robert Morris. I'm often asked, how do I grow in my relationship with the Lord? How do I hear God? What is God's plan and purpose for me? I want to personally invite you to join me on Sunday mornings right here on AFR for worship and the Word. And we will discover the answer to these questions together. We'll explore the truths found in God's Word that will help you strengthen your faith and develop a more intimate relationship with Him.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Are you searching for a way to become a better, faithful steward of the resources that God has given you? Well, download the FaithFi app and join the 37,000 others who are already using our app. The FaithFi app will provide you with wisdom, community, and simply help you stay on track with your finances. We have three money management options to choose from, so find an option that fits your unique needs. It's available on desktop or mobile. Simply go to faithfi.com and click app to get started.
Can we trust the Bible?
He says, we saw this. And that sets the Bible apart from almost everything else in the ancient world and its religious pantheon of gods and goddesses.
The God Who Speaks, the important documentary from the American Family Association, is now available to watch for free on AFA's brand new streaming platform. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to watch this award-winning film today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. And here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Delighted to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. With me today, Mark Biller, Executive Editor at Sound Mind Investing. You'll find more at soundmindinvesting.org, including the article we've been talking about today, recently published in the latest SMI newsletter. It's titled Measuring the Market's Valuation. And what does that mean for your portfolio? We're taking your questions today on the markets, the economy, and how you should be thinking about investing in light of everything going on around us economically, especially this week with a Fed decision coming tomorrow about where interest rates go. And the all-important Fed comments surrounding whatever that decision is. We've got some lines open today, 800-525-7000. Let's go to Alabama. Hi, Michael. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hi, thank you. I'm 63 plus, like to retire at 65, and should be debt-free by the time I retire. Me and my wife both have about 25% of our funds in American Funds Roth, and she has a 401k with about 25% in it. And then I have an IRA money market account that I moved into about $200,000. Kind of really want to move it into a CD because it's earning something, and it didn't know whether I could purchase a CD. And also kind of where I need to start looking really quick, because I feel like we're on the edge of maybe a recession and market's so high, I can't go into it.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, Michael, and we'll get Mark's thoughts here in just a moment. Have you done your retirement budget, and do you have a sense of how much you'll need to pull from these investments to supplement Social Security if you're going to start drawing it as soon as you retire?
If we could pull a solid 3.5% to 4%, I think we could be okay.
Okay, very good. Mark, your thoughts?
Yeah, well, Michael, the really nice thing is that for the first time in about 15 years, that type of 3.5% to 4% rate of return that you just mentioned is available risk-free through very safe investments, whether those be treasury bonds or like you mentioned, a CD or a money market fund, investments where you really don't have to take any risk at all. And that is very different from the planning environment that we've had over the last 10 to 15 years. So that's a huge plus. That really makes things a lot easier in terms of trying to come up with that type of rate of return. Now, the one thing that I would say is, a lot of folks, as they hit retirement, kind of the stage exactly where you're at right now, they tend to want to get really conservative with their overall investment mix. And you just have to be a little bit careful with that, because the numbers, the actuarial numbers tell us that a couple that's retiring at 65 years old today, the chance is about 50-50 that one of you is going to live into your 90s. Now, a lot of people are surprised to hear that, but what it tells us is we do need to still be looking out for a fairly extended period of making this money last. So we just, you definitely do want to pull in the reins and get more conservative as retirement approaches and arrives, but you don't want to go too far with that. Because you do still need to keep some of this money growing to keep your purchasing power at least keeping up with inflation. So that's something to keep in mind. CDs can be tricky within retirement accounts, but like I said, you know, a good quality money market fund is going to be yielding almost exactly the same as a good CD, maybe just a tick less, but not much less. And treasury bonds are very attractive right now as well. So I think you can, you know, probably keep that. I'm assuming that 25% you mentioned in the American funds is mostly stock oriented. You know, I would say that's a minimum level that you'd want to have, you know, still in stocks as you're in your early retirement years. And you might even be just wanting to keep an eye out, Michael. I know you're concerned, as I am as well, that there could be a market drop ahead. But I would encourage you that if that does happen, that you might want to look at that as an opportunity to actually lean into that kind of stock market decline to boost your exposure to stocks a little bit. If it really is as low as 25% of your total portfolio, that might be a time to actually add a little bit, because stocks over the longer term, and I know it's weird to think about longer term when you're on the precipice of retiring, but you do want to be thinking, what if I need this money to last me 10, 20, even 30 years from here? So those would be my general thoughts there. It sounds like you're in great shape. As Rob mentioned, the key to this whole thing is lining up your spending, figuring out what that retirement spending budget is going to look like, and then figuring out what type of rate of return you need to earn in order to keep everything on track. Rob, I'm sure you've got some thoughts as well.
Well, no, I think you're right on there. I think the big high-level idea here, Michael, is that you probably want to think about around a 30% allocation to stocks at a minimum. Now, whether it stays at 25 and you bump that up, you know, during the recession, if that's where we're headed, like Mark said, I think that would be fine. Maybe you have an allocation of precious metals, and then you have largely fixed income, bonds, CDs, money market, that type of thing. And then that sustains you. And the good news is your withdrawal rate is right in line with what we would hope it would be in this season of life. Does that all help you?
It does. I'm actually probably, as a combined portfolio, we're closer to 50% in stocks.
Okay.
Me and my wife have recently married 4 years ago, and so we haven't really combined ours, I mean, through our companies and everything. So everything's still a little separate, and I'm sure there's some overlap, but she has probably 50% of hers is in.
Oh, looks like we lost him. You know, the only thing I would say in conclusion, I'm sorry your line dropped there, but this may be the season where you engage an advisor as well. I mean, you've worked long and hard to build this significant nest egg of $800,000. And so I think having somebody that's managing this on a day-to-day basis with your goals and objectives in mind is as conservative as you want to be, but where you're not bearing the weight of that, I think makes a lot of sense. Soundmindinvesting.org, or look for a CKA in your area at faithfi.com. Let's go to Virginia. Hi, Fred. Thanks for calling, sir. Go ahead.
Hey, hi. Thank you. I really appreciate your program and all the information we're getting. I just have two simple questions. It might be simple for you. However, I feel a little bit stuck. And that is, I retired from the federal government back on December 31st of 21. I have a TSP because I got laid into the federal government. I have a TSP, which also includes about 13,500 in a IRA, and so I have 93K in that, and it's in a G fund, and it is growing slowly, as you know, the C fund.
Yeah, the government money market, sure.
Yeah, And then also, I sold my little condominium because I lived in Alexandria, but I moved. I wanted to get away from D.C., and I sold. And I made $90,000 on that. And I just have that sitting in a savings account in Navy Federal. And they've been asking me to try to move it to a money market. But life goes on, and I feel stuck as to what you might advise.
Well, let's do this. We've got to take a quick break. If you can hold right there, Fred, we've got some notes here, 93 and a G or a C fund. We need to clarify that, plus savings. We'll talk about where you go from here next. Stay with us.
My wife, Jan, played in the marching band in high school and then in college. They all had matching uniforms. But when they played the music, nobody played exactly the same thing. As believers, unity of the faith, we're not the same. We're different. We have different parts to play. But there can be unity as we play our part in Christ Jesus.
Exploring the Word, weekday afternoons at 3 Central on American Family Radio.
To sharpen the biblical worldview of Christians and to share the good news of Jesus Christ, that is the mission of the Christian Worldview Radio program. I'm host David Wheaton, inviting you to join us this Saturday morning at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, as we discuss all matters of life and faith from a decidedly biblical perspective. The Christian Worldview, Saturday mornings at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, right here on American Family Radio.
What's most important to you when it comes to choosing your financial advisor? Someone who's aligned with your biblical values? How about someone who will take the time to explain your options? Certified Kingdom Advisors are professionals who meet high standards in competence and integrity and have been trained to offer biblical financial advice. To find a Certified Kingdom Advisor in your area, visit faithfi.com and click Find a CKA.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. We've been talking today on the broadcast with Mark Biller, executive editor at soundmindinvesting.org, about the market's valuation. Mark thinks stocks are pretty expensive right now. What does that mean for your portfolio? Well, we have room for one or two more questions between now and the end of the broadcast. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, just give us a call at 800-525-7000. Before the break, we were talking to Fred, who's kind of stuck, just wanting to know where to go from here. He's retired from the federal government. He's got $92,000 in a TSP, a thrift savings plan. He sold a condo. He's got another $90,000 sitting in a savings account. Just wanting to know where does he go from here? Fred, let me just clarify, the $92,000 in the TSP, did you say that's in the G fund, the government fund, or the C fund, the common stock fund?
No, it is the G fund.
The G fund. Okay, very good. And talk to me about kind of where you're headed from here. Are you fully retired?
Well, I've worked some part-time. I'm just getting ready to start. Okay. Believe it or not, it's going on 70. I'm going to be a lifeguard down at our aquatic center.
I love that. That's great.
I know. I felt like I went back to boot camp this weekend for that training.
That's so great.
And that's probably going to give me I was at Cabela's for 18 months. That gave me under $20,000, or maybe it was around $24,000 annually.
All right.
And this is probably going to give me – I know it's going to be under $20,000.
Yeah.
But it does supplement and it does help.
Yeah. So are you having to pull anything out of either of these accounts then?
No.
Okay.
No, not right now.
Because okay.
I did have savings. I had about $20,000 plus. I sold back leave time. I was impressed at what I got back on that. And,
okay.
And
great.
Then, of course, yeah. So
if you're working part-time and, you know, plus Social Security, are you drawing Social Security now?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I started that at 66.
Okay.
And then I have a my pension's small because over half of it is going to my health benefits that I continued with through the government. Okay. And then sadly, I was in the Bricklayers International Union for almost 20 years. I worked a minimal 16 out of that. And because our local mutual, and I had been, I took time to go overseas. I did Christian missions for 13 years, which was
nice.
Really well, it was hand to mouth. And I came home with a quarter in my pocket to start all over again.
Yeah.
And, but I lost my pension from the Bricklayers Union due to they merged. They merged two different times.
Yeah. Yeah. Last question. Let me ask you, do you have any plans to redeploy that $90,000 in another property, or is that money that you can invest here?
Well, I can do either. I would like to buy. I know people say they hate their mortgage, but I actually like being mortgaged or owning. And I would like to use at least $50K of it toward another piece of property if I can find it where it's affordable and in my means.
Okay.
And as I mentioned to Rob, I'm not afraid of the interest rates. I bought my first home in 1974 through the VA. I paid 7.5%.
Okay.
I understand.
So we're right back in a comfortable zone for you here. All right, Mark, that's a lot of information there. What do you think?
I think, Fred, kind of like we were just talking about a moment ago with Michael, you know, the when I'm looking at what you've got right now, all of it is in very, very safe money market type investments, which is not the worst thing because we're actually getting a decent interest rate on those for the first time in a while. So that's very helpful. I guess the big thing for me would be as you're considering what to do with this additional money that you're thinking about investing from the sale of the property, you know, my inclination would be to take that out the risk curve just a little bit, since you've already got the TSP money in the money market. And again, my concern when I'm trying to help relatively young retirees, early retirement years, is to not get too conservative too quickly and to have at least a small portion of their money invested in things that hopefully will be compounding faster than inflation. And so that usually means maintaining some minimal exposure to the stock market, maybe having some bonds mixed in addition to the more cash-like money market holdings that you've got right now. You may be interested, Fred. We've written articles from time to time on the TSP plan specifically in the Sound Mind Investing newsletter. So if you just type in TSP in the search box at the Sound Mind Investing website, you'll find at least a couple articles there. And that may help translate the specific letter funds. I know many listeners are probably thinking, what's a G fund? What's a C fund? But translating those to more common investing terminology can help. And those articles could be helpful to you in that regard. Rob, any other thoughts?
Well, I was just going to ask you, Mark, would you be comfortable with him, let's say he takes 50 of the 90 that's in the Navy Federal Savings Union, deploys that into another piece of property, he's got 40 left, let's say he uses that for just the cash equivalent type investments, CDs and money market, would you be comfortable with him doing the rest of investing right there in the TSP using their various funds between fixed income and stocks and government, or would you rather him roll that out to an IRA?
No, I think that would work very well, and that's really an easy way to do it. And that's where some of these articles actually kind of walk through. How do you translate that to like a traditional index fund portfolio? You know, how much do I put in the C fund? How much do I put in the small cap stock fund? Those types of things. But that would work really well. And you know, to Michael's point just a few minutes ago, you know, he had about 50% of his portfolio, his early retirement years portfolio, in stocks. And that sounds right about right on target to me. I mean, some people might feel like that's a little high. They feel like they should get more conservative. We typically say about 50% in those early retirement years in stocks is appropriate. So I wouldn't be afraid of bumping that exposure up.
Yeah, very good. So you've got all the tools you need there between that savings, Navy Federal Credit Union and the TSP, Fred. So hopefully that helps you. Listen, you're entering a really phenomenal season of life. I'm excited for you. I'd love to send you a book. Our good friend Jeff Hanen wrote a book published by Moody Publishers called An Uncommon Guide to Retirement that maybe will give you some thoughts on how you think about this season of life in terms of God's calling, the opportunity for rest, and maybe a sabbatical rest, but also continuing to lean into how God has wired you as you think about this season of life. So you stay on the line, Fred. We're going to get your information and get that out to you as our gift. All right?
I do appreciate your program. I will say this. I think I would write a book now based on, since I've retired, what you should do 40, 30, 20, 10 years before you retire.
That would be helpful.
This is what I've learned.
Yeah, I can imagine. Absolutely, Fred. Stay on the line. We'll get your information. Very good. We appreciate your call today. Well, Mark, let's just tie a bow on this with a couple of things. Number one is obviously what you were sharing about, the market's valuation being high, to say the least, is not the best news. Are there any other factors, though, that can affect market valuations, and how do these types of situations typically resolve?
Yeah, so there are, Rob. One trend, just the general trend, is that all of these valuation metrics have been going up over time. Yeah. So when you look at the last 20 years, the valuations have been higher than the 20 years before that. So it is possible that even though things look kind of extreme right now, that they're less extreme because of this trending higher in valuations. Typically, unfortunately, these high valuation periods tend to resolve through bear markets. They tend to adjust more quickly like that, as opposed to long, drawn-out periods where things just come back into line. So I think that's really the big takeaway, is just to, even though we had this pullback last year, to understand that over the next 7 to 10 years, we may be looking at another one or two of these types of bear markets. So you really want to have your plan, your bear market plan, in place, hopefully written down, but at least, you know, have thought through, how am I going to handle if we do have another, 25 to 40% drop in the market at some point in the next, say, 5 years? What's my game plan? And that's where I think, thinking through that ahead of time is going to make you much better prepared to not make poor decisions when the bullets start flying in another bear market.
Yeah, we've got just about less than a minute left, Mark. Let's finish with just some hope and encouragement for those who maybe find themselves a bit anxious at this time. What would you say?
Yeah, absolutely. Think long term. Obviously, our hope is not in these financial markets or our own planning. Our hope is in the Lord. So we just want to be good stewards and do the best we can, learn what we can, and put in practice what we've learned, and do the best we know how to do, and trust the Lord with the rest.
Yeah, that's well said. Mark Biller joining us today from soundmindinvesting.org. Thanks for stopping by, my friend.
Thanks, Rob.
All right. If you'd like to read this article we've been talking about today, Measuring the Market's Valuation, check it out at soundmindinvesting.org. It's there for you to read. No subscription to SMI required. Well, folks, it's been a delight to be along with you today. On behalf of my team, Robert Youngblood, Robert Sutherland, and Devin Patrick, I'm Rob West. For Mark Biller, thanks for being on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio today. We appreciate your calls and encouragement. If you'd like to support our work, you can do that at faithfi.com. Just click give. In the meantime, may the Lord bless you. Come back and join us tomorrow. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.